Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning what did the inspired Apostle Paul reveal about the Holy Bible. Well, we covered the Bible as a book of continued obedience, verse 14. The Bible is a book that we can learn, still verse 14. The Bible is a book of assurances, still there in verse 14. The Bible is a book of simplicity, verse 15. And the Bible is a book of power, still in verse 15. And then we noted the Bible is a book of knowledge and wisdom, still there in verse 15. And then, of course, we emphasize the Bible is a book about Jesus Christ, still there in verse 15. And closing out our study, last Lord's Day, we noted the Bible is a book of faith, there in verse 15 still. So this morning we want to pick back up with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and we'll do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we need to be keeping in mind, what should we be doing every day? So remember, PFE, that helps us to keep going every day, doing what God would have us to do. And that's going to make our life the best life possible. And that's preparing for eternity, though. So that's a good thought, isn't it? Well, we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as, of course, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. We always look forward to having opportunities to set up Bible studies where we sit down together and open up God's Word. You see, this is important to us to know what the Word of God says we must do to be saved and to continue to be saved. So we enjoy having Bible studies, and you can contact us. Set that up at your convenience. Now, something else to mention. We're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. And we appreciate your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana. 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, one more announcement. We need to make this for sure, and that is our gospel meeting is fast approaching. Coming up April the 10th through the 12th. Yes, sir, our spring gospel meeting, and our speaker is Brother Bill Boyd of the Rockcliff Church of Christ in McMinnville, Tennessee. Good old Tennessee, boy, that's my home state, and I'm proud to be a Tennessean at heart. Yes, sir. And notice, what is the theme? The Book of Romans. Boy, that's going to be a great study. We've had Brother Bill before, and of course we appreciated him a whole lot, and now we're wanting to have him back, and his good wife, Sister Lori. So make your plans to be with us April the 10th through the 12th, Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. Bible study, then our worship service at 10:30, and then a wonderful potluck lunch. We have excellent cooks here at Morgan Street. Then the final meeting, or the final sermon for the meeting, will be at 1 p.m. So make your plans to attend, and we look forward to meeting you. And let us know if you listen to the radio program. We would appreciate that. Now, let's get to our study, or back to our study, of what did the inspired Apostle Paul reveal about the Holy Bible, God's precious word. So we're starting back with verse 16 of chapter 3, and we notice all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Let's stop there. The Bible is an inspired book, not partly, but entirely inspired. The word all, that's plenary. That means all scripture is verbally inspired, every word, every syllable, for that matter. God breathed. In other words, it's coming from the mind of God. Should we not want to know what God has revealed to us, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer? If we're not interested in what God has to say, we have a big problem, and we better correct it right now. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:13 reveals which things we also speak, the apostles, the inspired writers of the Holy Scriptures. Notice, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, the Holy Spirit, that is, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, the writers wrote in their own style of writing. God allowed that. But they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. The Holy Spirit moved them. The inspiration of the Bible is proven with rock solid evidence. It's not on a whim, not groping in the dark. No, sir. It's rock solid. And you can study those evidences, and we can do that some other time, perhaps. But notice, Matthew 7, 15 through 20, because false teachers, modernists, liberals, they deny the inspiration of the Bible. Some want to say that there's a core. You got to remove the layers to get to the core of the truth. No, sir. Every word and syllable is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus warned of these false prophets and teachers in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice in Matthew 7, verse 15, Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In other words, we need to be fruit inspectors. We need to check out what's being said. Is this true from the Word of God? You've heard me say this if you've listened very long. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. Don't take my word for it. You study God's Word for yourself. Now, let's go on. The Bible is a profitable book. As we continue here in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine. That's important, isn't it? The teaching of Christ, the gospel of Christ. We're under the law of Christ. Well, that's very important then to know the teachings of Christ, His doctrine. Not some man's doctrine, but His doctrine. Our Lord and Savior. It's His doctrine, that's right. Now, what about reproof? Well, that's convincing one of his sins. A lot of times people don't like that. Preach only positive sermons, some want to indicate. Well, that's not following what the scriptures teach, is it? rebuke. Yes, sir. Ephesians 5, let's notice 11 through 13. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You've got to expose sin. And the light of God's word does that. We need to preach the truth. Yes, sir. Well, let's notice for correction. What are we to correct? False views, discipline, training. We all need that. Yes, sir. What if you don't train your children? You don't correct them. You don't discipline them. What do you think is going to happen with their lifestyle, their behavior? Well, I think we all can see that's not going to work out. What about in the spiritual sense? It's the same. We need correction. For instruction, the way unto righteousness. We need to be instructed. God's way is the way to go. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. David in Psalm 119:172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. That's right. But let's go on in our study. Notice now verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is all sufficient. It thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works. Well, look at 2 Peter 1:3. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, does anybody misunderstand that? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Where are we going to find it? That's right, the word of God. And everybody should say, yes, that's exactly right. Amen. Now, there's no need for additions to God's word. Look at Revelation 22:18-19. We're not to take away from God's word. We're certainly not to add to it. Neither one. Stay with the truth. Don't water it down. And there's no need for, redoing God's word. And, you have books come out every so often. They're additions that are redone. The better, get rid of the mistakes and make them better and all of that. That doesn't happen with the word of God. In a proper translation, we're talking about. But let's notice now chapter 4, still in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee. The Bible is a book of charges. Yes, sir. Let's see some examples in the Old Testament. Remember, Noah was charged by God to build the ark to the saving of his household. 8 souls were saved by water because Noah had found grace in the eyes of God and did what God said. That's right, and his family as well. His wife and 3 sons and their wives made 8 souls. What about Moses? Well, no, let's go to Abraham before he was before Moses. What did God charge Abraham to do? To leave his country, to leave his kindred. Go on to where I'm going to show you, God said. And he did. Moses, he was charged to lead the people out of bondage and build the tabernacle. He followed the pattern, just like Noah followed the pattern that God gave for the ark. We need to follow the pattern today for the true church. Stay with the pattern that God has given. What about in the New Testament? Jesus told his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. He charged them, did he not? And Jesus gave the great commission, the great charge. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's a charge. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20, is it not? Paul charged Timothy to preach the word. Yes, sir. Now, the Bible is a book of positive and negative commands. We need to talk about this. Preach the word. Verse 2, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What is in season? People want to hear the truth. What is out of season? People don't want to hear the truth. Well, we should be in the category of wanting to hear the truth, even if it cuts us. We need to be told if we're in sin, do we not? And appreciate it and get out of it and repent, do the will of God. The word needs to be preached whether people appreciate the truth or not. We need to preach in love. I certainly want to say that. Well, notice Genesis 2, 15 through 17. The Bible is a book of positive and negative commands. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You had both positive and negative right there in the Garden of Eden, did we not? If you go to the Ten Commandments, there in Exodus chapter 20, note, you'll find 80% are negative, 20% are positive. So, it's not wrong to preach that which is negative if we're staying with the Word of God and we have a proper attitude in doing so. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, that's negative, you see. So there are positive and negative commands. Now, a preacher needs to be balanced. All negative is not going to help a congregation to grow. Certainly not. But we need to be preaching positive and negative commands that are in God's Word. But let's go on. Notice now verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible is a book to be treasured. That's what we need to really think about here. Do we really treasure God's Word? Well, what does our attendance say in Bible class that are offered? You see, in hearing the Word of God in the worship services, going to gospel meetings such as ours coming up in April, and others at Stop 11 and Shelbyville Road, I know, are having meetings coming up in the spring. So mark those on our calendars. The lectureship at Stop 11 is in November, starting the first Sunday. We look forward to hearing the word proclaimed at these lectureships and gospel meetings. And of course, studying at home every day, hearing what God has to say. The Bible is a book to be treasured. Yes, sir. Now, since the Bible refutes false doctrine, we must earnestly contend for the faith. There's not many faiths. No, there's just one. That's the system of faith. That is the doctrine of Christ. And never turn away from it. Never turn away from the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23, we need to appreciate. Never turn away from the truth. So, do we treasure God's Word in our hearts? Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Good question, isn't it? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We are to know that verse by heart. Now let's go on, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. The Bible is a book about gospel preachers and preaching. Well, this rules out ear ticklers, doesn't it? Are we to be ear ticklers as gospel preachers? How could we call ourselves a gospel preacher if we're an ear tickler? All eight writers were preachers. The New Testament. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what God's word is telling us. How can a gospel preacher make full proof of his ministry if he does not stay with book, chapter, and verse preaching? Do you want to have stories told during the worship service and a thimble full of scripture? Or do you want God's word proclaimed during the worship service, during the Bible class? What are we studying? The Bible. Should be obvious. Book, chapter, and verse preaching should be desired. And if it's not being done, then we need to ask, why not? Let's go on. Still in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Let's note, the Bible tells us how to be prepared for eternity. Well, that's familiar, is it not? Yes, our radio program is entitled Preparing for Eternity. And this verse hits it right on the head. These verses tell us how to be prepared for eternity. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knew what was coming. Paul was beheaded in Rome, according to historical accounts. The Bible doesn't tell us how Paul met his death, but he knew his departure was at hand. This was the last inspired book of the Apostle Paul. But here is the answer to, again, how to be prepared for eternity. I have fought a good fight. You see, living the Christian life, we have to make sacrifices. We need to not give in to temptation. We have to fight against the wiles of the devil. He wants us to get away from the truth. He wants us to give in to sinful desires. That's what he wants. Now, notice what else Paul stated. I have finished my course. We cannot just go half the way. No, it's a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle of following Christ, denying self, taking up our cross, putting to death anything that gets in the way of following Christ, putting his kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. That's being prepared for eternity, isn't it? To finish the course. Not go halfway and quit, as some have done, but they can return and be restored by repenting, acknowledging their sins, and praying for forgiveness. This is the second law of pardon. As you see with the Simon the sorcerer there in Acts chapter 8, for example. But notice now, I have kept the faith. Paul stayed with the truth. He stayed with the gospel of Christ. He didn't allow it to become meaningless and watered down and go along with the trends and listen to ear ticklers and so forth. No, he didn't do that. He kept the faith, the faith. Henceforth, here's what follows. And we need to note that. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So the question becomes, am I looking forward to the second coming of Christ, or am I not even thinking about it? Well, that would be a tremendous mistake. It would be an eternally, repercussions are coming if we're not prepared when the Lord returns. Is that not true? We better know what the Bible says about this. Jesus will come as a thief in the night. No man knoweth the hour of the day that Jesus is going to come. Some try to predict it, but they don't know. The angels don't know. Man doesn't know whether he thinks he does or not. He doesn't, according to God. But getting back to Paul here, his situation, he knew he was facing execution, but he was prepared to die. He was, wasn't he? Remember what Paul wrote during his first imprisonment? According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Are we prepared for eternity? Are we ready to die? Can we say as Paul, we fought a good fight, or have we given up the fight? We must finish the course, keep the faith, to receive the crown of righteousness from the Lord on the day of judgment. Our text has answered the question, what did the inspired apostle Paul reveal about the Holy Bible? Now, since the Bible is the greatest book and the only book from God, will we say as Samuel did, speak, Lord, for thy servant will hear. What is our attitude toward the Word of God? Do we really treasure God's Word? Have we stopped listening to God's Word? Well, by not attending services and the Bible classes, if we're able, and studying at home. Let's not be like that. But let's be true followers. Have you obeyed the gospel? We stand ready to assist you if you have not. To hear the word, believe Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, make the good confession unto salvation, and then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and he will add you to his body, the true church, the church of Christ, where we need to remain faithful even under our death, and we'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.